today's episode. It's a big one. We talk about Jude Bellingham not really understanding Spanish culture, or is it the reverse? And we talk a little bit about Manchester United yet again. Can't stop talking about them.
Yeah. If they're in the news, it's always bad. We have two incredible guests from FC Cincinnati, Matt Miazga and head coach Pat Noonan. We're going to be chatting with them. We spoke to them about Onside, their inclusion in the documentary that's coming out this Friday. And we have some MLS transfer stuff that we got to talk about because a lot's going on in the league. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
So I performed in Newark this weekend. Shouts to Tom Boger, by the way, for coming out, hanging out.
Okay.
Tommy B.
Yes.
Came out. He said, breaking. Alexis is funny.
Tom has been to our comedy shows before.
He's a big fan.
He went to the one that we did in Minnesota. We were there for the All-Star game.
He's a big fan. Great laugher, too. Love having him
big
in the
audience. Big laugh. Even the mustache laughs on its own.
Buddy, all three of the mustaches on his face. The two up here and the one right here. All of them having a good time.
Has hair.
Also, his wife is just a lovely woman.
Okay.
A
lovely woman. They just recently got married, so congratulations to them.
Anyway, we talked about afterwards. We talked for a few minutes after, and my stomach was started going.
This is your stomach is a character in every Alexis story.
I don't know how to explain this, but I like to eat food from around the world, and sometimes that food presents my body with new bacteria.
At the times, like. Just not before you're going to do a show. Why are you so experimental?
Oh, buddy, I'm all over the place. You know, we'll talk about another one, but the one thing I can't do is bedtime stuff. I can't do that before a show. You know how sometimes it makes you lazy?
You can't get laid before a show.
It's not just late. It's the male part of the completion. The male completion part of that?
Yes.
I can't before a show. I'm on stage like, duh. I can't, nothing comes out.
But you literally eat out of a trash can.
Oh, buddy. It's the only eating out I'll do. All right, folks. We're here, folks. All right. So, listen. I'm in Newark. I'm performing in Newark. Shouts to Marcus Negron, who put me on the show. Wonderful time. His father came up to me. I'm pretty sure his father knows my sister and her ex-husband. I was like, I got to stop talking to you before I release any information. But my stomach starts to go, and there's mad people coming up to me like, oh, you did great, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, all right. Tom Bogart made all his way up there. They were staying in Newark overnight. I was like, I got to go. I get in the car, and then I have a decision to make. Do I go 10 minutes further away from where I currently live in Brooklyn to go to my mom's house and wake her up so I can poo? Right. Or do I try to hold it and go to Brooklyn? So I thought, we're going to Brooklyn. I think I could do this. Okay?
It sounded like you just, like your mom maybe wouldn't, would she have said no?
No, she wouldn't. But I'm just thinking in my head, do I need to go 10 minutes further out of my way just to do this? Or do I can make, you know when you go on stage, you no longer have to poo, this is happening.
Yeah, it's like adrenaline.
So I'm kind of, I'm still in that. Like I can feel my stomach is upset, but I'm still in the mode of like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
There's no soldiers at the gate. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was holding back a full wall of diarrhea. Like I was... We were involved, right?
There was
all muscles, all sphincters.
This is every bowel movement for Alexis.
By the way, most of the time it's not emergency, but we were out of the red alert. I get in the car, first red light, red alert is back, right?
Wow.
Adrenaline has been drained. I wake my mother up. and my aunt, and I say, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm 10 minutes away. She's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I did a show in Newark. She's like, what did you tell me? I'm like, we can talk about this later. You know, just open the door. Because,
you were trying to go to Newark without telling your mom you were gonna be nearby.
But also, she's not gonna go to a late comedy show anyway.
She would have asked you to visit, and that's really the main thing.
But also, I can't visit late. I wasn't gonna get there early. It was too much. I just went to Newark and did a show.
Yeah.
I wake her up. I'm in the bathroom. I am fighting for my life in there. Right? My body has decided to remove my butt and replace it with a soft serve machine that will not shut off. Okay? And I'm in there elevating off this toilet seat, and my mom knocks on the door, and I'm going to give you one guess on what she asked me. Now, Latin mom, you show up unannounced late. What do you think she asked?
Were you on drugs?
No.
I don't know.
If you showed up at your mom's house and you were just, maybe you had to use the bathroom, she would ask,
are you okay? Do you need something?
No, do you need blank? What do you think she would, what do Latin moms decide? Well, if I'm awake, I'm going to do this. Italian moms would probably
food.
Do sipping.
You want to
exactly.
eat food?
My mom, in the middle of me releasing everything out. I mean, I'm pretty sure my pancreas slid out of my butt. And I was giving it all back. She goes, do you want me to make you a sandwich? I didn't know how to say not right now, but also probably yes.
Oh man, she knew where it was gonna end up anyway.
Yeah, so. She was like, that way maybe he'll stay here longer. Turn down the sandwich, by the way.
Oh wow, brave.
You know, that one's for my wife. That's for my cardiologist. That's for all the people who didn't believe in me when I was hustling outside the building.
I mean, we need some dedicated Cooligans fan. Do
a supercut?
Do a compilation supercut of all the terrible bowel movement stories Alexis has. It doesn't end, bro.
Can I just be honest with you? I'm sad that these types of things don't happen to you.
You're sad?
Yeah. You're missing out on an important part of life, which is unaware of where you're going to release your bowels, coming.
You need to install a toilet seat in your car, bro.
I thought about this before. You could just leave it right on the highway. You could just send it right to the highway. I thought about this before.
The way people throw out cigarettes while they're driving, Alexis.
It's a biodegradable object.
Is that bothering anybody?
If anything.
It gets in a couple, wheels on
trucks.
If anything,
I'm fertilizing.
Oh wow! Well, I'm glad. I would say I'm glad you're okay, but I know you're probably not. It's a never ending thing.
I think I'm okay
with this man's intestines. Anyway,
You know what? I had a Yakult. You ever have one of those?
A Yakult?
Yeah,
no, I don't know what that is.
You know what? You have a microphone for a reason, Carter.
Yeah, they're actually pretty tasty too, and they're good for your gut.
Incredibly tasty. They're great for your bio gut, gut biome.
I hear Yakult. I think the occult, 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 the darkness, the mysterious.
So Y in front of it, and suddenly it's a yogurt drink that replenishes your bacteria in your gut.
Horrific.
It's so good.
Anyway, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco, and my guts is doing just fine. You don't have to worry that I'm gonna scurry off in the middle of the podcast.
He probably poops clear. My name's Alexis Guerreros. What's up?
We're here, as always, on Yahoo Sports. Excited to be back for you. We have a all right, we got it. I hear ya. Literally,
it's the remix.
Yahoo's burning up our contract right now.
Like, this is not what we paid for, bro.
We have an exciting episode today. We are joined.
You brought it back,
By the one, the two, and only of FC Cincinnati center back Matt Miazga, the former Defender of the Year, and the head coach for FC Cincinnati, Pat Noonan. And just a heads up. Because we'll talk about it later. Obviously, very big news in regards to...
Yeah, so the conversation was had like two, three weeks ago.
Yes, yeah. About Evander going to FC Cincinnati. But this was from a couple weeks ago at MLS Media Day.
We also talked about Future Coast. So you'll hear some stuff that maybe needs a little updating, but we'll update it after.
So you
that.
Got the context, but we had a good time with everybody there. So shout out to them. So that
Pat Noonan loved us, by the way.
I thought Miazga did as well.
So do I.
He warmed up to us a little bit. So be on the lookout for that. Let's get started today with La Liga and Real Madrid, Jude Bellingham. The news, this is just fun news. This is just like, you don't really get fun news like this all the time, but it's just a fun little story.
I don't think this is a fun story. I think this is, this happens a lot where the confusion between how the English like to speak versus how everyone else in the world, the decorum that everyone else has.
Yeah, it's not exactly, doesn't always align.
In America, if you yell the C word at a bar, you will be mostly asked to leave that bar.
And you know exactly what we're talking about when we say the C word. Okay, so but Jude Bellingham, if you're not aware, Jude Bellingham, midfielder of Real Madrid, got a red card because he said something to the referee.
Because his Britishisms, bro. We talk about these Britishisms. He, in this situation, he told the ref to F off.
Correct.
The ref.
Who among us?
Right? We've all been there. Right?
Has not told a person of authority to F off. And also said, before that, said, I'm talking to you with respect.
No, that was after.
That was after. Yeah.
He tried to explain it. He's like, no, what are you talking about? Where I come from, this is the highest level of respect when someone disagrees with you.
I said this to the queen before she passed.
She high-fived me, dude. She's never done that before.
But yes, he said he is, obviously upset about
He was upset
with
a call. He said, F off.
F off.
Which is you ever, your mom's cooking with the pressure cooker and you tap the little button on the top, it's like, a little of the pressure. That's all that is. It's a slight release of pressure.
let out a little bit of steam.
That's got nothing to do with you. When a British person says F off, they're not even talking to anyone in specifically. They're just talking about the situation, which is what he did, which I actually have a little bit of respect for. That's your culture, right?
Correct.
But if you don't understand English, that could the word F and off may come across as a direct
an FU, you know what I mean?
FU, but something even akin to an FU.
Correct. At the very least, it's not respect, and it is 100% disrespect. If you are not aware of, like you said, those Britishisms, right?
Right, which is nuance, and you're going to lose that when there's a difference in language.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of a, you know, there should be some responsibility with that, because I don't, this happens in a lot of, like, in Spanish-speaking countries, where one word can mean one thing in one country, and the same exact word can mean a completely different thing.
In Latin America, the word for homie is the word black.
Right. That could be
the opposite. And you post that, and British people are like, whoa, you racist POS.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, I'm not, but I gotta respect your culture.
And it's not to say, hey, you can't be yourself.
No.
But there's a time and a place.
Yeah.
Right. And this is one where, you know, the people that are defending Jude Bellingham here, it's like, all right, you gotta be, give a little bit of grace to the referee. Because the referee, I believe he went over to the captain, Lucas Vasquez, I think it was to him. And he told him, he was like, he told me F you. He told me F you. And it's like, all right. That's a place where Bellingham should understand. Like, yes, of course, you are a footballer. It's a lot. It's an intense situation. Every game, every moment is completely, you know, like, massive. But relax, bro. Like, you can't always just be yourself.
Yeah.
When keeping it real goes wrong, we all remember
this. You're in another country, bro.
You're in another country. It's a different culture. You're dealing with referees that have that have different. Cultures, traditions, and everything. And you can't, you're going to get caught with this once in a while. Maybe the ref was a little bit sensitive and didn't really understand.
This feels like it's a case, because I feel like Jude Bellingham tries to explain it to him. Now, you have the video. Right?
Yeah, we can't play the video.
We can't play the video, but he's specifically saying to him, like, bro, I'm talking to you with respect.
Which, we might have to blur out the words. I don't know what Yahoo's policy is. But yeah.
We're just adding a lot of work for Carter here.
But he goes, I'm talking to you with respect. And te estoy hablando con respeto. Yeah. They're doing the translation there. And it's like, all right, but that can't be your argument, because there's no way you think that is a respectful thing to say. It's like, yo, if I'm talking to my wife and I throw out one of these, you think I come back with I'm being respectful?
Let's say you're at your mom's house and you stub your toe and you yell PM for Latinos.
Yeah.
Your mother will be like, in this house, you're gonna get a red card, and it's gonna be glued to the bottom of a flip flop. You know what I mean? You're gonna get that red card a lot. Your mom's gonna be like, I don't care if you meant it to me or not, you are disrespecting the house. And I think this is one of those situations where it's like, yes, maybe that's okay. And I think in England you could say this all day. And the ref's
exactly.
Like, I know, right? The ref's like, bro, for real.
And that's the best way to put it. The ref is, you're disrespecting his house.
Yeah.
This is his house.
Right. I don't think this makes Jude Bellingham a bad person.
Not at all.
I don't think, you know, he's disrespectful to the ref. I just think you don't understand the decorum that is being asked of you at the game. Now, one thing I do want to say, and that this, I know this has been said on the internet before, apparently the fans don't have to do this. You know what I mean? It's just the players. The fans are in the stands doing monkey chants and all types of wild disrespect. They don't ever get a red card. But the players, if you understand that and it's going to affect you on the pitch, it's going to affect your team, in a way, lesson needs to be learned from here on in.
100%. Yeah, this is a, that's a good example. I mean, the players are held to a much higher standard. Mm-hmm. This is something, to me, that this should be a lesson to Jude of, like, yeah, you can't, you can express frustration. Nobody's saying that you cannot. But if it comes off in a way that is, if you use language, foul language like this, somebody could interpret it in a way that maybe English is, if it's not their first language, they might think like, hey, this person is being disrespectful to me. Right.
There's also English people saying, or British people, I don't know where they're from, but there's British people saying like, oh, this is disrespect to our culture. But you also do that to everybody else. You know what I mean? So maybe now is the time for taste your own medicine.
Is this the culture you want to export?
The answer is yes, I think, for a lot of people. I think the answer is yes.
Maybe, I mean, it could be a little bit of the right wing.
The Brexit voters are mad.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's like, what is radicalizing right wing people nowadays is not like anything thoughtful. It's like, I want to be able to, you know, call disabled people, whatever, you know, whatever whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, bro, this nobody else wants this.
Nobody wants
you. You just want to use these slurs and all this other stuff and not get punished for it. Right. You want no consequences.
It's the anger Olympics.
Yeah.
How can I be angrier than anyone else on the internet?
This is my hope is that it's
this got to be frustrating if you're Jude Bellingham, because you're like, bro, this isn't a bad word, and then now you have to learn. Here's my suggestion. Let me know what you think of this. What he needs to learn the this is a great learning opportunity. He needs to learn the terms that correlate in Spanish.
Okay.
What are some of the things you could get away with in Spanish saying in this moment? So you can get F off out of your language, and now you could add a beautiful sounding romance language equivalent.
Okay, so this is the first one that comes to my mind, and with the heavy joder.
Yeah.
In Spain, they do the...
They love that.
They love a nice joder.
Yeah.
And this seems like the place where you get that out of you.
Yeah. What if we take something a little Caribbean? What if we offer him some little Caribbean? And the way the Puerto Ricans love to mash three words...
Okay.
Or sometimes four into one. Hijo puta. All one word.
Oh, I mean, that is all... I think that's probably worse than what he said.
No, but... If you put it in one, that's okay. If you just say the last word, that's a bad. You can't say that.
Right.
But if you put all that together, it's just the term.
But this is a... no, it's not. I understand what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying. We've given grace to that term.
This feels like one where in Puerto Rico, it might be less inflammatory than in Spain.
Yeah.
But... I would also not recommend you say that.
Okay.
A
suggestion.
On a pitch. I think Joder is a fair compromise.
Joder is fine. I mean, it's not a bad one, though. It feels like it doesn't have the weight of an F off.
It does not, but also, yo, he's at work.
You know, in Cuba, they say, me cago en Havana.
Yes. That's a classic.
Which is a beautiful.
Imagine Jude Bellingham.
The embarrassment of pooping yourself in the most populous city. That is the term. So it's almost self-deprecating. Imagine if Jude Bellingham said that in the middle of a bit. The ref would be like, are you Cuban?
That would make me
Ecuano.
So happy. Very, again, fun story. You know, he's going to miss a game.
Are you calling it fun?
I think it's fun to me. He's going to miss a game, but he'll be fine, obviously. All right. Let's move on to England. And
that's not a three-game ban, is it?
No, because it wasn't a violent conduct. Woo! Or anything like that.
Imagine.
It's just a little pow-pow. Mm. Let's just say one game. Just so you can think about what you did.
Yeah. It's just a reminder. You did something wrong.
Okay. This is the first time Alex actually hit me on the show.
That's not true.
He just struck me.
I'm sorry. It wasn't the first time I wanted to. It's the first time I actually did.
Let's go and talk about Manchester United a little bit, because they are in... I mean,
Where are they in the standings? 15th?
15th, yes. It is not a slump. It is a tragic downfall.
Right. I believe Erik ten Hag left the team 5 points out of the top four.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, and they are much worse right now.
it felt like, they brought in Amorim. It can't get worse.
No.
And that's exactly what's happening. It's exactly that.
But do you feel... And I would love to hear what Manchester United fans think. In a way, don't you think we're in the clearing out portion? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This feels like the cleanse that's needed, you know, to get the evils. They need to sage the room a little bit, you know?
Totally.
Like, this is the pain. This is the rock bottom you need to hit before you get better. It still feels to me, and again, I'm not a Manchester United fan, but it still feels to me like Amorim is the guy to lead them forward with one... two transfer windows under his belt. He can start to make the changes needed to put on a better team. The one thing you may be able to hold against him is that he's kind of Ange Postecoglou-ing a little bit, in the sense that he's like, this is the way we play and we are not changing it. And they're like, yo, you ain't got the pieces for that. He's like, I don't hear you. Okay.
Yeah,
all I hear is go on, King.
And we were praising this even on this show. We were like, oh, I love the transparency, the honesty. Yeah. And now that they just keep losing, they've already lost 12 matches in the Premier League this season. It's it's looking more ridiculous, his commentary. And I give him credit at the
very... Does it look more ridiculous or is it just looking tone deaf? Because ridiculous to me is like what Ange Postecoglou is doing, which is like, oh, it is what it is, man. I don't care if I'm failing, you know?
I mean, it's hard to say. It all looks... I think the comedy of it is the... we see Anthony at Real Betis, and he's what scored 3 goals in 4 games. He's just scored an absolute banger of a volley the other day, and it's just another example of like, oh, it's not. It doesn't seem like it's the players. But Amram has been honest about this, about like the players that he has and what he demands of them. You know, Rashford just on a free kick hit the crossbar, and you know, Ollie Watkins ends up scoring or whatever. But it doesn't seem like that. Well, I guess what I'm saying is
like, Anthony's balling. And it seems to me like it's a United problem.
Yeah, right. It's like a structural and an institutional thing. And you know, Henry Bushnell of Yahoo Sports wrote a great article about it that you should all check out. But that is the it just seems like the problem. I mean, and again, we've said this before. It's just like from the owners to the directors to the general managers to everybody making those decisions, you sort of think like, oh, that's so kind of high up that it's not really going to affect who Casemiro's passing the ball to whatever. You know, you don't think it's that granular.
From the head, bro.
Yeah, and that's what it kind of feels like. But Amorim is closer to the head than he is to the pitch. You know what I mean?
So I'm going to read. This is Opta Joe's stat. This isn't mine. Manchester United have lost 8 of their last 12 Premier League games. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they won 3, drew 1 of the other 4. Since the date of the first game in this spell, which is the December 4th match against Arsenal, the only sides to lose more matches in the Premier League are Leicester and Southampton. Do you know what positions they hold?
They're in relegation. They're relegated.
The bottom two. Yeah. So they are in relegation form.
Yeah, totally.
They are bottom 3 form since December 12th. This is not... It's not something we can say has no reflection on Ruben Amorim.
Mm-hmm.
It just still doesn't feel like it's Ruben Amorim's fault.
Right. I think that's where the...
It's like, you're not making the hurt, but you ain't helping.
Right. The whispers of like, is this Amorim's fault? Like, yeah, are starting... they're getting a little louder because he, you know, he can only be so... and we can also say like what David Moyes has done with Everton of like, even I was saying David Moyes is not—he's not going to really change anything. You know, I didn't think he would be the right manager.
He's changed everything,
and he's changed absolutely everything. And Manchester United's next game is against Everton, so I'm sure they're probably a little bit nervous. Even though the last game against Everton, Manchester United won 4-0. But this is a Henry in the article also mentioned that one of the big factors as well is the influx of money that has come into the Premier League, where now those mid-table teams, the quote-unquote middle or bottom table teams, are kind of outspending some of the Champions League.
They've got Champions League winning money now because of the TV deal.
Exactly. So it has leveled the playing field to such a degree that Manchester United, a team that has been mismanaged, is now have fallen, even though they have tons of revenue, jersey sales, tickets, and everything, and TV money. But they are so mismanaged that now they are essentially, like you said, a team that is fighting relegation. The team is run just like a Southampton, just like a Leicester City. And that's why they're essentially in these situations.
The important thing to note is having all of this revenue, but having an overwhelming amount of mismanagement puts you at the level. It takes down the amount of revenue you have and the amount of ability you have to outspend and even outsmart. If you're not doing the outsmarting part, it brings you down to a level where you're now competing with the bottom half of the table. You're not competing with the top half. And again, we've said this on the show, and before Manchester United get all these comments and go crazy with these fans, we believe, or at least I believe, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we both have agreed, Manchester United, the sport is better when Manchester United is one of the biggest clubs in the world, is competing at the highest level. That is what is...
Now their fans just seem like delusional psychopaths.
They also seem so sad.
There is a lot of sad. I mean, I
heartbroken.
I blame Good Vibes John, because he is making his content is like sad United fan. You know what I mean?
Bro, it is...
sad boy porn.
Walking on the beach to sad music. I mean, it's obviously very intentional. Darkness, I laugh.
My old friend.
I'm enjoying it.
He's so positive. It's so hard for him to compete to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. It's Manchester United has made him sad vibes, John. Yeah. And that's just you hate to see it.
Yeah, you don't want to see it. He's gonna start writing poetry.
So it is a look. Manchester United. We're talking about Manchester United, but we have to give. There are some fun stories with Tottenham. Tottenham obviously get what their second back to back win this season, I think, or something like that. Like, which is also pretty abysmal.
All right, here it goes. Now he knows he has a mic.
This is a fun fact. Their back to back wins were against Brentford and Manchester United. Their last back to back wins earlier this season were also against Brentford.
It's hilarious.
That's crazy. So you did the double over both of them.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's amazing. But Tottenham, a 1-0 win. The goal that James Maddison scored was
the celebration. I think was a little better than the goal.
Celebration. He ran up to the end line and did a little chat.
Well, he did the
chat,
the shush. I think he did chat, throws a little dart and then shushes. And you know, if you're wondering yourself, what is he talking about? Who is he shushing? Well, not the one and only Roy Keane.
Roy Keane. And Roy Keane was on. Was it? We stick to football. We talk football. I don't know what show. There's like 4,000 shows that Sky does.
One of the overlap.
One of
shows.
The ones where all the old timers are chatting up around the table.
It's the one where like Ian Wright is closest to the camera.
And he says I'll see if I can pull it up. Just to paraphrase, he basically said James Maddison comes up in conversation. And Roy Keane is like, dude's trash. He hasn't done enough for me.
But he goes in. He goes, what's he done? He got relegated with Leicester, and he's about to get relegated with Tottenham.
Yeah.
He's not a game changer. He doesn't score enough goals. He would have been a regular. I'm paraphrasing from this part on. He said he would have been a regular midfielder in the past, but now we're essentially glazing him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I found it. So just real quick, this is just a couple seconds. Here goes.
Dressing room and Madison's back in the squad, you wouldn't be looking and going, oh, gee, he's back today. Yeah, we're going to be fine.
So you've got to silence this, James. You're the only one who can do this.
All right, I can't show the goal, but yeah, that's basically it. And so
Ian Wright's like, bro, you're cooking him for no reason. James, show. James went out and said, I'm going to do it. Scored the only goal of the game.
He said, thank you, Unc. All right.
I got you, Papa.
I got you. And this has sparked a lot of debate because it is pretty funny. So James Madison went on TikTok and posted this. He had an edit ready to go. And he had the clip of Roy and then posted him scoring the goal. And then the debate here is from a banter ethics, let's say, or whatever, not even ethics, but just you know what I mean. But
oh, you mean the banter police that came out for Miles Lewis-Skelly when he did this?
Sure. Like
all
even
he
that.
Did was this.
Yeah.
And
everybody was like, hey, he shouldn't be disrespecting.
Jim Carragher got his pants a little tight. But and now, what about this? I bet everyone's having a good time with this one.
Jim Madison, they're basically saying like, oh, he it's funny because he obviously posted Roy Keane and then the clip of his goal and the funny little edit. But first of all, my personal opinion, the goal is off a rebound. Pretty trash goal.
I disagree. You gotta be standing in the right spot.
I mean, it's
man.
A fine goal.
He made the run to the spot. His mother ball might
he
end
scored
up.
The goal. Is this a shush goal? Is this a hey, don't say anything?
Was it the only goal you the only goal of the match against the Manchester United?
Is this
a shush goal?
Is this shutting up Roy Keane? I don't think that's it. If he hit a 25-yard banger from outside the box,
it ain't gotta be a goal last for you to shush.
I'm like, yo, James.
You're saying this is not a shush goal?
No, not at all.
This is a shush goal. What position does James Maddison play?
He's a 10.
He's
right?
A midfielder.
He's
bro.
A midfielder. Yeah, I'm just saying.
He ain't got a score goal. I was gonna be in it.
Even if he got a great assist, I would also say that this is a shush.
Nah, because the celebration gets to be his.
Okay,
you scored the goal.
I understand. Just but in
you tell us what you think. How about that?
Oh, you. I thought you were talking Carter.
I'm looking right at the camera. Send your comments, Carter.
Because you're looking that way, I'm like, yo, oh, Carter's gonna flame Alexis right now. But yeah, what? Before we go to our next segment, Carter, what is your thought? Just to,
I actually agree with Alexis. It's kind of like, or with, sorry, with you, Christian. Sorry,
hey, get off.
Like, I do agree. Like, you have to make the run. He good anticipation to be there for the rebound. But shushing someone after a tap-in? Come on, bro. What are you doing?
It was 3 inches away from the goal, bro.
Can I tell you, the biggest Tottenham haters are Tottenham fans.
Bro. All right. All right. Anyway, let's move on. let's get to our conversations with the FC Cincinnati boys, Matt Miazga and Pat Noonan. What order? I guess we'll go in that order. It'll be Matt Miazga first and then Pat Noonan.
Yeah, let coach speak last, bro.
Exactly. So FC Cincy fans, have at it. Let us know what you think.
Welcome back to the Cooligans, baby. This continues.
Exactly.
Nothing but stars.
We got a defender of the year.
Bro, this dude is so tall. He walked in. I thought he was going
to
dunk on me.
Just to make sure, after the show, after this interview, we have to get a quick photo of him.
Yeah, so I can look shorter and fatter. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's send it to my cardiologist.
But we are joined by center back for FC Cincinnati, Matt Miazga. What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Thanks for having you guys.
Thanks for being
nice
here.
Nice energy. I like it. I like it. A little different, right? But it's important.
Yeah, yeah. I know you have a ton of interviews here at Media Day. I promise this will probably be the most fun.
The funnest, all right.
But yeah, you are a person who we've wanted to have on the show for a long time.
You should have got me earlier, man.
We tried, dog.
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking about media team right now.
your interviews, your energy on the pitch. I mean, you just have a lot of historic moments in Major League Soccer.
You say with it
with the national
chest,
team. Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. but
can't be scared, bro.
But facts. This is, you know, we're here chatting with a lot of players that are involved in Onside, the documentary on Apple TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus. So we have to ask what your experience being followed around, getting, you know, sort of that behind the scenes of last season, which I know was a little tough for you as well. What was that experience like for you?
It was cool. It was cool. Obviously, you know, they're well known, and the documentaries they've put out were pretty cool. And I think it's cool to kind of, like I said, get a closer look at, you know, us soccer players in this league, you know. And I think the good thing is to show the people that we're all normal people. You know, we're all human beings. Yeah, you know, we're all the same. Just because we play a sport doesn't make us better than anyone.
Some of us are 6'4".
Gorgeous, tall dudes who play professional athletes.
Slightly different.
No,
we're normal. Just don't look me in the eye.
Yeah. But like I said, we're all normal people, and we just want. It was good for them to see us, you know, day to day. Mine was a bit more reserved. I didn't want them to kind of come into my private life like that. With my little one as well. But it was fun. I think they're raving about it, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, they shot the Hell is Real derby, so I think that was a cool game to be a part of.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people, they see, like, you know, the intricacies and the details of what goes into all that. It's going to be cool for them to see.
You say it was reserved because you didn't do a family, but the thing about you, and I think one of the reasons why, you know, when you used to play for Red Bull, as much as we were like, please lose when you were playing, because we're New York City fans, when you play for the national team and stuff, we're always rooting for you, or when you're playing for other teams that don't play in NYC, because for me, you remind me so much of the people I grew up with, because you clearly, like, you ain't hiding how you feel. You're not hiding your emotions. Yeah. How was that getting to share that after a match, like maybe it's a loss or maybe it's a win and they're filming you? You probably aren't really hiding how you feel. You don't have much of a poker face, man.
Yeah, no, I was just being myself. And I have to, because, like, I feel like I'm one of the leaders of the team. So there's nothing to hide. I got to make sure that, you know, I'm still being myself and trying to be the best I can be and help lead my guys out there. And there's definitely, you know, a lot of cursing in there or whatever it is.
Yeah, you're from Jersey.
That's just not, every other word for
that's
me.
That's how we talk.
Exactly.
Right? Priests have sermons in Jersey, bro.
That's every other word for me. So so maybe they don't bleep it out. But no, you see the authentic me, and you see the authentic, I think everybody was pretty authentic in that. You know what I mean? And yeah, you know, you think you're going to hide, but you don't really hide. You know, sometimes it's a bit awkward when, like, you're in the locker room and stuff, or like in the training room and in and around the facility, and you kind of got to realize, I got a mic on me.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying crazy things.
Yeah, you know, right. I mean, I can't say what I'm really about. I'm going to text you that.
Otherwise, you know, people are going to really like you. Yeah.
Locker room is a live group chat. I don't think people realize that.
Right.
You know, it's so unhinged, and you just say how you feel, and, like, everybody, like, you just be yourself. Everybody respects you no matter what. You know what I mean?
Right. And, but you are one of the most, I would say, in the last few years, a legendary just trash talker.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it is as much of part of your game as winning aerial duels, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I was worse when I was younger, I would, like, go out and look for it. now I don't look for it,
but if
people come, like, it's game over. Like, I'm not stopping.
What's in the water in North Jersey? We gotta figure it
out. Because
I was the same way. I was.
But that's how I grew up. Yeah. That's how you grew up.
Yeah, that was normal. When, like, I'm talking to you.
When I'm in high school, like, we're not saying how are you. We're like talking shit to you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just natural. But like, it's all fun and games. Like, you know, like, it also it toughens you up. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
Whatever you say to me, like, you're not gonna, like, it's going to go in one ear, out the other.
Yeah,
like,
my best friend is saying much worse to me.
Yeah.
My father has as much worse than me.
We just have to ask, because this is one of, it's like a bucket list item for us. We have to talk about that Diego Lainez moment. And this was, I mean, it's an iconic photo. I don't know if it's your full wallpaper right now.
right?
Because
you have it in your kid's room, just so he knows or she knows.
As far as U.S.-Mexico lore and just like important moments in that rivalry's history, that's a big moment. What was the sort of aftermath of that? And I don't know, are Mexico fans still tweeting about it or mad at you?
The funny thing about that was, after the game, the next day, we're flying back out because that was the last game of the international window.
Yeah,
and I was playing in France at the time, so I'm flying out. I'm checking in, you know, getting ready, checking my bag, and this is in Nashville. And behind me, I turn and I see like Mexico fans with the jersey on still from the game. So I'm like, because I was getting bombarded with messages, and I'm like, all right, let's see how this plays out. They see me, they're like, oh, Miazga, let's do a picture.
And isn't that wild?
And I'm like, that's so funny.
Those are the same dudes that are heavy in the comments, too. They say wild stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, I always said, like, whatever happens on the field stays on the field.
Yeah,
after the game, you know, I respect everybody. It's normal. The good thing about with the player line is I played against him a few times afterwards as well. And, you know, before, after game, you give a big dap, you hug, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, it's soccer. You know, we're all playing a game.
Right.
Game of soccer. So, but yeah, that was the funny story about that one.
That's so great. Yeah. It's great. I mean, I'm looking forward to the documentary because I think one of the things is, like, those of us who've seen you play and grow, we get to see you as a leader. And now we're going to get to see it on camera. What's probably the thing that you're most excited for people to see about you and just, you know, your time at FC Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think maybe my passion because passion can be a bit misunderstood for, you know, maybe arrogance, maybe, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but like being a head.
You know what I mean?
And I'm a passionate guy. I care. I want to win. I'm a competitor. And, you know, this is my livelihood. So I'm going to go out there and, you know, it's kill or be killed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's my mentality. So I feel like if people see, like, you know, that part of it, that, like, it's just, you know, being passionate about, you know, your sport and caring about, you know, your teammates and winning, that's what it's about for me. You know what I mean? So
your time in Europe, I mean, I know a big part of you mentioned when, like, you were younger, maybe there was a lot of trash talk, but we were watching your games while you were out in Europe, and clear, especially you mentioned kill or be killed and that cutthroat mentality. It seems to be a little bit more intense out in Europe. What did you learn from that experience that may have changed you as a player when you came back to Major League Soccer?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, like you said, I've been in Europe for a while, and I've been in a lot of countries, not just like one or two. Three, four countries, and I love just the experiences of, one, the different philosophies and, you know, players that I come across, because you meet and you stay with lifelong friends that you meet. But also off the field, you know, the cultures that you learn and try to, you know, ingrain yourself in, and, you know, trying to speak different languages, and, you know, on a day off or on a weekend off, there's always something to do, something to see, something to learn. So I definitely enjoyed that aspect. And then, you know, the experiences of high level football made me who I am today. And I'm hoping and trying to carry that into this league and show younger players, you know, what it takes to be a top professional.
That's awesome. And I'm sure we got to let you run, but I got to get you from Clifton, New Jersey. I got to get it. What's your bagel shop order?
Bacon, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup, toasted.
Plain bagel.
Yeah. Sometimes everything.
You got to go everything. Or egg everything. Egg everything is a sleeper.
Salt, pepper, ketchup, bacon, egg, and cheese, toasted.
Very nice.
Quick, yeah.
Do you scoop?
No.
All right, cool. Plain bagel. I was surprised by that.
Why?
Because you look like an everything guy to me.
my missus and everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
All right, cool. So there's everything in the family. Dude, thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much, brother. Best of luck this season, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right, appreciate it, guys.
We are excited to be joined by coach of FC Cincinnati, This has been, this is going to be another coach involved in the documentary. But Pat Noonan, how are you doing, man? Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm doing good. It's good to see you guys again. Yeah. Thanks for your time.
All right, of course, dude. Excited to have you. Talk about this, man. You know, the league is growing so much. Now you get to have cameras in the locker rooms with you, catching everything you guys are doing, all the conversations you're having. Obviously, we're talking about Onside. It's going to be amazing. That comes out pretty soon on Apple TV. Talk about having that experience. Was it weird for you to have cameras sort of following you around?
It was.
Did you feel like a pop star? Maybe?
It was. No, I didn't, because I don't know how to act like a pop star. But I will say, you know, you're uncomfortable. You know, you got cameras, you got microphones. You know, at times, you find, am I being myself right now? So it's just trying to understand that, you know, Onside, box to box, they have our best intentions. They're just trying to show us as coaches, but also, you know, as humans, as people outside of the work we do. And, you know, they capture that with the, you know, the time we're spending with our families and away from the field. But I think it's unsettling at times. And maybe even when I get comfortable with it, I can tell coaches that are maybe uncomfortable. You know, the players, I think they did a really good job, but there was a lot of moments that I didn't see where, you know, I don't know how uncomfortable they might have been, but it's the world we live in. You know, the fans want content and they want to know more about the players and the coaches and the clubs. And I get that. So for us, it's just trying to get used to it.
I think working in this field, and you know, you watch reality shows, so you feel the cameras around, like, oh, should I be flipping a table? Like, I mean, why?
Should I yell at somebody? You know,
people
the
are really comfortable in that setting, and it's wild. And I'm like,
they really shine in those moments, some of these folks, huh?
Oh, it's I'm a bore. I say it all the time, and I'm like, I don't know how great this is going to be for the viewer, but if this was every day, you're going to be disappointed.
It's interesting though, because I watch a lot of the like FC Cincinnati social content, and I remember when you were part of end of the year award, was Coach of the Year?
It was.
Coach of the Year. And when they surprised
last
you,
year, they did.
Yeah, and
good
it was
content.
But there was a little bit
you
of like
that one.
there's a little bit of like, I want to see how Pat Noonan reacts to this, and it was like, is it going to be a lot of emotion? Is it going to be tears? You know,
you should have seen me before the meeting, because I was agitated. I had that hour leading up to it, and they had me. I was focused on something, and so it was a league meeting, and here I am like, what the? Are we going? Why do we all need to be there? You know, what are we doing? And it was like,
then your kids show up,
and then here's my family.
No, like, holiday here. You still angry?
Everybody did great. The reason it was so special was,
of course,
I don't want to say less about the award. It was the delivery of the message, and that meant a lot. And then to see my family in the aftermath of being with the staff and the players was really cool. So, that was organic. That was real, and I really had no idea. And so, I'm sure the whatever I said after hearing it was like, was not that great.
Speaking
for content.
Of delivery of the message, were you nervous at all that the world with all these cameras around, we're going to find out that the tactics, the only tactics you do is like, all right, on three, pass it to Mucho Costa. And then go. Were you nervous that we were all going to figure that out?
We need to figure out a way to cover that up.
I mean, you got a cheat code. This guy is so
he's
good.
Decent, right? He's a special talent, man. It's so fun to work with him, because the level of talent, but then also, you know, the challenges, because he's so emotional and so competitive. And what I try to remind him is not everybody sees and can play the game at your level. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a way to be patient, and you have to find a way to lead outside of just the quality of the player that you are. So, you know, we've had our challenges, but I tell you, our relationship's grown. He's such a good kid, and he is really he's put Cincinnati on the map in a different way.
Sure.
We weren't a team that anybody was talking about years ago, and he's carried us in a lot of the stretches that maybe we weren't at our best.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like FC Cincinnati, when they joined Major League Soccer, were, I mean, respectfully, a bit of a, like, laughing stock, right?
And right.
It was a
wooden spoon at early on, and I mean, you changed that,
obviously. We did a A roast. We did an MLS roast. We do this MLS roast for ISC, which is the Independent Supporters Council. And one of our biggest jokes that popped off in the room, this was in 2019.
I think after the first season, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
And and the joke was basically all the supporters from all the supporters groups are
all in the building.
The president and vice president.
Was it Die Ingolstadt? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
It's a very German name.
We asked the crowd, we say, hey, is FC Cincinnati here? And Alexis told this joke, and then they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then
actually, that was a quote from every team that played FC Cincinnati. Oh,
Not bad. It was good.
That's changed. I can't use that this year.
I don't want to laugh too much.
No. I can't use that this year. You guys are really good.
But the turnaround for this team to go from that to is essentially one of the most difficult places to play in Major League Soccer. There must be a huge point of pride to turn things around so quickly for you.
Of course. You know, when it started, there was, of course, a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
But you look at the roster, you say, okay, Lucho Acosta, Brandon Vasquez, at the time, yeah. Brenner, mm-hmm. you know, experienced players like Jeff Cameron. You know, I'm going to be, you know, we had Nick Haglund, the local kid. I'm going to leave names out of the mix there that helped to turn things around. It's like, this is a talented team. Look at the fan base, look at the stadium, look at the facilities, look at the support from ownership. It's just getting some wins, getting yeah. belief. And if we could get there, we could accomplish some things. And I think the progress that we've made and where we're at today, you know, it started in 22 and there was a lot of people doing a lot of good work to get us to this point. So it's been fun.
Talk about your growth also as a manager, because you know, I remember when the rumor was that you guys were going to get Matt Miazga, you were already a great defensive team. I mean, we're going to have seven center backs. So they're going to have the tallest team in the league. And to get these pieces in, it must be difficult to figure out ways to sort of make them work. And you've got this, whatever the first 11 you put out, they're always so cohesive and they're all committed to the plan. Talk about that growth.
Well, it's not getting complacent. And in this league, you know, things change like that. We saw it with the injury to Matt this year, who was a key piece, and how quickly, you know, and Nick was part of that as well, how quickly the level dropped. The goal is to have depth at every position. And if we want to compete and win trophies every time we step on the field with whatever competition we're in, you're going to need to be ready to replace that top talent, you know, that's moving on for a transfer or that gets injured or it's away for international duty. And so our goal is to build the strongest roster possible. And it's not getting complacent. It's not saying, okay, here we are, you know, we're at the top of the table right now. Everything's great. No, you know, behind the scenes, what needs to be done to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does it also feel to, you know, there were reports last year about, like, I don't know how much you could even really talk about it, but like Weston McKennie, that was a potential player. But the fact that FC Cincinnati is on that kind of radar where people like, you know, we sort of, again, with American soccer and maybe, you know, they think of maybe Cincinnati as like a flyover city or whatever, but when it comes to footballers joining this team, it now, especially with that stadium, it feels like a proper destination to come play.
No question. I think, you know, you're starting to see the ambition of ownership groups to even think about going and signing players of that magnitude, because it's a huge investment. But I also think top players that can, you know, see a project or see, okay, this is a strong fan base, this is a strong club, we have all the facilities, world-class facilities, you know, no matter where they're playing, no matter what level they're playing at, they can see this as a good move for them in their careers. Yeah. And not everybody will share that that thought, that sentiment. But for me, it shows and speaks to the growth of our league and the ambition to bring in the top players at the prime of their careers.
Yeah. And we know you have to run, but I want to make sure that we talk about Onside, because they actually filmed the Hell Is Real Derby, which is huge, right? I think that's just huge for the sport in America. And it's huge to shine a light on what the sport really means in that part of Ohio, because it is big. And I don't know if the cameras caught this, but I heard a rumor that whoever loses has to eat Skyline Chili. Is that true?
Well, it's a good rumor to have when you won the game. So it was their coverage, box to box. You know, Johnny Zwick, I highlight his name because we spent a lot of time together. But the coverage was great. They were very professional. I'm excited to see how it looks now. Mm-hmm.
You
won. Final product.
Because you won.
The result helped. Yeah. But I will say the experience was good for myself. You know, I know they highlighted Matt and Lucho and so they did a great job. It's going to be, I think, something that the viewers are really going to appreciate and certainly be hungry for more.
Yeah, and nice. And just as far as someone involved in American soccer for so long, I mean, you've seen it go from just almost no interest, almost no coverage, and it's difficult for that to find that like legitimacy. But just to see that there's a project like this that could potentially, just like the F1 Drive to Survive, where
right.
it's like just. You know, we've been doing this a long time, and we've even naturally developed a much deeper connection to the league, yeah. to the sport.
Right.
But as far as it, the growth in connection to the just like the American soccer player or the player that plays in the United States, what do you think or what are you excited about as far as just fans having that deeper connection that we see with NBA players, NFL right. players, like now MLS players getting that kind of attention?
Well, you just said it. We're competing with major sports, you know, yeah. and a lot of. Top markets, in the world, you know, that soccer, I say soccer because I grew up in America. Yeah. I'm not afraid to say that football and other parts of the world, that's all they know. And mm-hmm. so we're competing, we're trying to grow a sport in a league where you have, in a country where you have Major League Baseball,
right.
NBA, NHL, NFL. It's hard to do that. So you're trying to maintain the diehard fan. Grow interest with the casual fan. How are we gaining, views, getting more eyes on our sport? And it's content like this where they can see not only the player and the coach, but the human. And if maybe there's some sort of connection that they start to see with us in the soccer world, it's only going to be a good thing for the growth of our sport. So. Nice. It's been great.
Yeah, the way to just grow the popularity of the sport, more Pat Noonan on camera.
Come on,
okay, that's all we need.
It's good.
There you go. Okay. More comedy.
Yes, I agree, Coach. I agree.
A couple.
Gaffer.
There you go. Gaffer.
Pat Noonan. Best of luck this season. Excited to see you in Onside that comes out February 21st. But thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys. Excited. I've enjoyed it.
Shout out to Matt Miazga and Pat Noonan, the homies.
Lovely.
Pat Noonan, he's like, yo, when you next time you're Cincy, come, you're going to be doing stand-up? I'll go see. I'll go support.
Pat wants to show up, bro.
Bro, you love to. It's always a.
Be like Pat.
It's always a fun and refreshing thing, I think, because even for people in soccer, when they meet comedians, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, my God, I came to this soccer conference media day thing mm-hmm. to talk about soccer. I didn't know I was going to be talking about comedy. And
what about when our fans come see us perform? They're like, hey,
hey,
you actually do stand up. It's like, we've been saying that for a decade now.
Do you think we are lying?
Yeah.
I mean, you're laughing yeah. throughout the show. I hope you think that we're competent comedians. But shout out to Pat Noonan and Matt Miazga. They were both really dope. Thank you so much for stopping by and taking the time. And go check out Onside. Is out on Friday?
Yeah, it's coming out soon.
It's the 21st, the day before the MLS season kicks yeah. off.
It's on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Go check
Made
it.
Made by the same people as the Drive to Survive, which was a great doc.
I mean, not to call out Apple or anything, but yeah. they haven't sent us the screeners yet. So we haven't seen.
We were told we would have it.
Mm.
So I guess we just go with Gen Pop now.
Okay, we're waiting like all the normies.
Bro, I'm on the phone with Tim Apple. He's a guy who owns a travel agency in Newark. But
I got the direct line.
It's a guy named Bobby Manzana. It's not the same guy, but
Bobby Manzana.
It's a great name.
Great name.
That was a second baseman for the Aguilas.
My son, he's almost two. He hasn't really said many words that clearly, but especially two syllable words.
What was his first word? Did we ever announce this on the show?
His first word that I think he said clearly was like mama. I'm almost sure it was that.
You lost, dog.
That's right. It's over. We got to get another one. We got to try again.
We got
to
redo this.
But just last week, he said apple.
Hey.
Yeah, he's like, because he loves the iPhone 15.
Right. Yeah. He's a big fan. So no Androids in this house.
No, so that was lovely. All right.
So we said we would update stuff from the conversation with Pat Noonan and Matt Miazga because some changes happened. MLS, hot stove, bro. It's happening.
This and now for now that there's cash transactions or cash trades in Major League Soccer, every GM is like, hey, calling up the owner, like, yo, you know that 20 mil you got sitting in some account somewhere?
Bro, some of these values is crazy.
it is kind of wild. But I mean, the first one, I mean, we're not a cash trade, but this is just kind of bombshell news that was essentially, we're waiting for the confirmation from New York City FC. But bro, Santi Rodriguez of New York City FC will be waiting for the confirmation, but reports saying he's going to go.
Tom Bogert says it. It's good enough for me.
Exactly. Going to Brazil, to Botafogo, for $17 million, which is a huge sum of money.
This is a lot. It's a lot, especially for... I mean, look, this is a player that is influential in the attack.
Mm-hmm.
He is incredible. You could see the value. You could see the ceiling is really high. You don't find players like this very often. Also, the type of player that tends to do really well in MLS, that sort of creative midfielder, winger, attacker, sort of hybrid, getting rid of him seems like a huge, huge, move.
In general, it's not something that worries me that much. Like, you know, good players are going to leave. That's always how it is. It's been that way since the sport was invented. The issue is the season starts in 5 days.
This is what I'm saying. We don't have a natural replacement. And I think the team sometimes played a little bit more fluid without him on the pitch. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Sure.
I just think it was a bit more cohesive without him there.
Yeah.
As long as Maxi Morales was also there. But Maxi Morales is 38, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I don't know how old he is. But yeah,
he's 38.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's a lot to ask of one guy who's 38 years old.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is
37.
Young spring chicken.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. He would be high. 37.
This insulting number, 38. That was so gross that you even...
I was thinking 17 and 38 because these damn Fetty Wap memes have been all up in my brain.
Yeah, look, Santi was the only, I think, gripe that people had about him is that maybe he held on to the ball a little bit too much. But in general, he was... instrumental, obviously, in scoring a lot of goals. He was the penalty taker.
There's also a new manager or a new head coach. Maybe has a different style than Nick Cushing had. So maybe it was a little different. But yeah, I mean, look, I tend to agree with you, right? Great players are going to get sold.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. This just felt like, you know, had it happened a little bit earlier, maybe there was a chance to sort of adjust what you would expect. Yeah, and also, it seems like a lot of good players.
But that's the scary thing. And David Lee, GM for NYCFC, is known to be like down to the wire a little bit, maybe late moves or maybe prioritizes the summer. That tends to happen a little bit. It's just because the season is like, this news comes out. It's just like, and this is just a negative of MLS and the schedule that they play under and you know, in the transfer window schedule, everything like that. It's just a little bit concerning because the, you know, Santi also, he didn't play in any of the preseason games. So obviously the players and the new players are getting accustomed to just not having him there. And then the players that the, you know, Keaton Parks is one I think of just the more veteran players that will have to take a much bigger responsibility and ownership of what that midfield looks like. Who's going to really be kind of attacking with the ball, you know, not Malachi Jones, who was broke his leg last season, had a great, great start last year as
a
rookie.
He looked like he was going to be a constant starter.
Sure. And so maybe that.
Talis Magno doesn't look like he's coming back.
Right. Yeah. I can't confirm this, but Talis Magno said that essentially that he wasn't ready for MLS. He didn't realize how fast.
Okay. I saw that as well. I also don't know if that's
true.
No, don't
know if it's true. I'm all
that. But he's basically the quote, if attributed to him, I don't know if it's true, is that like he thought like, oh, this will be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And whoa, it was not.
He literally said like, essentially like players were running by me and they were so fast and all this other stuff. And which is the only thing there is like, do you not think MLS players know how to like go to the gym and do like, you know,
I think people are just like
plyometrics and learn how to run faster.
I think people are just like, it's America. They don't even know how to play a sport. This will be easy.
Like a lot of, you know, even if you don't think that they don't have the technical ability, right, which a lot of American soccer players
just
don't.
Be like playing baseball in Italy. You'd be like, I think I got this. just two Latinos were like, we might hit a couple dingers in the first game.
Okay. Yeah. So that part of it is like the dismissiveness.
Yeah.
Or just maybe not even doing your research. You know how sometimes when you have a big job interview coming up, you look up the company.
He's also a kid.
I understand, but
it also
could have
been how he got. It also could have been how it was sold to him. Like, buddy, you're gonna crush. You ain't even gotta run.
they have two left feet. MLS players. They don't even know what they're doing.
Three of the guys, the three MVPs, were running backwards in some of the highlights.
So NYCFC is going to be an interesting season. Interesting start to the season, to say the least. Let's move
really
on.
Quick, Alexis, just to answer your question. Fifth largest outgoing fee.
So significant. This is 17 million.
Because I think it was Tom Boger or somebody else.
John Duran is number one.
Right.
Yeah, 30-ish million.
But the fact that Santi got sold more than Cucho is also kind of a shock as well. Mm-hmm. But why do just read them off real
quick. Yeah, it's John Duran at 29.5 million. Miguel Almiron to Newcastle for 24 million. Thiago Almada to Botafogo for 19.5, and Ricardo Pepi to Augsburg for 16.3.
Interesting.
So wait, so
euros. So
16.3 million. Euros.
So yeah, so it's that one. He's just below that as far as euros.
Yep. Got it. So interesting. And even
Botafogo being two of the top.
Well, Botafogo, the owner, obviously the Lyon owner.
This is his way of getting players into Lyon cheaper. Because you can't negotiate that crazy with the Brazilian team.
Yeah.
Smart.
Hey.
John Texter, if I'm not mistaken.
John Texter, yeah.
All right. Okay. Damn, bro. That's good. That's good business, Tex.
Next up, we got Evander to FC Cincinnati. Obviously, we just spoke to the coach. This, obviously, it was before any of this stuff happened. But Evander to FC Cincinnati.
You did notice how tentative he answered the
Lucha
stuff.
You know, there's always something going on. Like, yeah. Just tell us right there. You know, if we would have broken this story.
We could sense it, bro. Let us be the one to say.
But Evander, after the comments last season, at the end of the season, when he was basically like, they lied to me.
They lied to me. I was made promises.
And clearly, it was the beginning of the end of that relationship. And now that the you know, you have these cash trades. So he was sold from Portland to Cincy for $12 million, which is, we're still getting used to the fact that this is even a thing.
But the first thought I had is, how are you making that money back?
Where are you getting this money, bro? Damn,
bro. I mean, is it just like one of those things where it's like accounts?
My guess is no. My guess is that this is just, this is actual money, bank transfers. They went to Western Union.
Yo, money. What's the one? Money? Money. The other Western Union.
Cash for gold?
No. Hilarious.
I use that all
the time. They went to Cars for Kids. I think we messed up. We went to the wrong place. No.
They sent a $12 million.
MoneyGram.
Now you could just Venmo $12 million.
I believe this is Newark. It's either Newark or the Bronx. Somebody opened a MoneyGram with a MoneyGram sign, but it was a fake one.
Oh,
so all the people who were sending money, they were just giving them money. They shut it down after a weekend.
They didn't know they were betting on horses.
No. People were like, can you send this money to Steve? And they're like, of course. Receipt. No, none of it was real.
Kickety-clack.
They were like, And Steve just got it. Wait a couple days.
Steve is happy, though.
Yeah.
He's going to buy something real
Steven
nice.
Steven told us to tell you. He's not going to... Don't pick up the... Don't call him, but he said he's happy. But yo, it was a fake money. They had the sign and everything. It was fake.
Love it.
They stole all the money in like a week, and then they bounced.
Okay, that's crime. Yeah.
It's creative.
That is textbook crime.
Yeah.
Fraud.
Yeah. But so, we appreciate it here on the Cool
Again. So Evander was sold for real money.
Yeah, real money.
Portland also brought in a...
$12 million.
Yes, for $12 million. But Portland also got David Da Costa.
From Longs.
Is he a winger or is he also to replace Evander? I don't know what position. I saw some highlight. I thought he might be a winger, but...
I'll look it up. while you're not talking. Sure.
So losing Evander, I said now
huge. This was my pick for my sneak pick for MVP. MVP.
Yeah, so there's a domino effect, obviously. So Evander goes into and can positionally replace Lucho Costa. Yeah. Obviously, is he? It's hard to replace Lucho Costa. And we'll probably,
I would say it's impossible to replace him.
We'll never really know what happened and what fell apart with the relationship with Lucho Costa and FC Cincinnati. Even though we knew exactly why it fell apart with Evander and Portland. But this, to me, feels like a really great situation for Evander. He goes to a really good team, obviously losing the playoffs to NYCFC. But Evander's just such a great player, man. Even when we saw him play against...
But here's the thing. Like, I feel like we've seen what Lucho's ceiling is, which is great. I don't think he's going to get any better than
okay,
this.
Okay, that's fair.
Evander has a much higher ceiling. The problem is he's a very... seems like he's an emotional guy, you know?
Maybe.
Remember that was like the beginning of the season. Like they were worried like he wasn't going to show up or something. There was something there. I can't remember what it was.
I mean, we were talking about how he doesn't really like emote in when like he could score a 40-yard banger and be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like he's like, I don't
another day at the office. Yeah.
And so it, part of it seemed like maybe he was proud of his own ability and stuff that he can do, but he's like maybe. I don't like that I'm doing it for this team.
Or you're not really, you're putting me in a position where I can't do this more often. This is easy. I'd be doing this more if you let me play.
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know, again, what the exact issues were.
I can't even find David Da Costa on FotMob, by the way.
That's fascinating.
Did you find him any chance?
$6 million on a stranger?
Yeah.
Just some guy.
You know those guys like back in the day who would say they were Brazilian and would get contracts at teams and they've never played before? Sure. This is what's happening to them?
So it's
not even coming up.
So maybe Portland are, we'll see what Da Costa can bring. But obviously losing Evander is very difficult for Portland. But I think, essentially what I'm saying, I don't think, from a win percentage perspective, I think Cincinnati will probably be very similar to last season, even though they didn't have Lucho Costa. Now, Lucho Costa obviously goes to Dallas, and that move was $5 million to FC Dallas. And this is more of a thing where, like, I hope he does well. FC Dallas are not as good of a team. This is like...
Not when they got rid of... Paul Arriola, who's a great MLS player. Paul Arriola is the type of player that goes to your team and you get better.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they both went to Seattle. Yeah. Lucho, I did love the they picked him up at the airport. You know, they had a welcome at the airport that was cool to see. They did. And this is obviously a trend.
You got to do a welcome video. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
I'm happy to be on the team.
But this is one because Lucho, I don't know what happened at Cincinnati. And clearly.
Well, remember, he stayed at Argentina. He wanted to stay in Argentina. That clearly didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
He went back to Cincinnati. And then very quickly, they were like, no, you were right. You're not on the team. But instead of Argentina, have you thought about Frisco?
Yeah. This is an issue, I think, within American soccer and MLS, where we don't really get the scoop behind this stuff. Like, what went wrong? Like, anything that can possibly make a club or player look bad, we just, like, never hear about it.
It gets swept under the rug. Someone needs to pull up that rug, bro.
Okay. So that's the negative here. But when he did his video... the one thing I watch it, I'm like, you know, first of all, I'm like, Lucho to Dallas, like what's going on here?
That's crazy.
And then, you know, he's going from a Supporters Shield winning team to a team that hasn't won the Supporters Shield in like in like a decade almost.
Yeah.
It might be like 7-8 years. But here was his welcome video.
Hey FC Dallas fans, estoy aquí ya listo para empezar esta temporada.
And right there. So I just want to stop it there. Obviously,
you're looking at his eyes.
You're looking at, so he
look
said,
at his eyes.
He says, hello, FC Dallas fans.
And directly to camera.
And then he hits
the script saying?
He says, I'm here ready to start the season, but it's just the enthusiasm is not really there.
Well, he went from the, I know this part, hello, FC Dallas fans, to now's the part I'm being asked to read.
Right.
Dallas fans, estoy aquí. Listo
para empezar esta temporada.
And this is a thing in general with these videos that I'm like, is this a welcome video or a proof of life video?
Yeah. These do have like a guy behind the camera holding a picture of your family. You know, the vibe.
Say it, just like the script said. Yeah.
Go ahead, read it, bro. You know, like, it's the vibe you tend to get from all of these.
And because the players are...
You don't see this in NWSL videos or
no.
The women's team. There's personality.
It's just because I think, you know, for to ask a footballer that...
A male footballer.
That is even... That is, you know, over maybe 25, maybe even over like 27, 28... It's like to ask them, hold the phone, speak to the camera.
They turn into boomers. they go full boomer. I don't know. How does this work? Hello?
Their like confidence is like so totally zapped. This is not their world, you know, to be an influencer.
You're like, the camera should track me and all my movements. I should not have to hold it.
So. So look, again. I hope all this does, because FC Dallas have basically turned over their whole squad. New coach. Hopefully it works out. But having a player like Lucho Costa clearly is a step in the right direction. Last thing, Major League Soccer related is the, and I know we've gone on way too long, much longer than we were supposed to, but Lorenzo Insigne. Tom Boger at Give Me Sport had reported on this, and there is an issue with Lorenzo Insigne because he is still a Toronto FC player, and we've all seen
they got offers from a team in Turkey, Italy, and another one,
and Spain.
And Spain, I believe, all top flight.
Toronto's doing everything they can. They're like, hey, it hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We know we owe you a lot of money, but like, let's just...
And he still would have gotten paid out whatever his buyout.
Exactly.
Which is significant. And he would have gotten to move back to Europe, potentially back to Italy.
Yeah.
Where he's from.
And he has declined every option. He's just saying, hey, I'm going to stay. Even though... the head coach, Robin Fraser, new head coach for Toronto FC, has said, hey, you're not in my plans. So this is feeling like, I think Lorenzo Insigne has been watching a little too much Weston McKennie at Juve. And he's like, hey,
I could win him back.
If Weston can do it, maybe I could. He's not in, I'm not in his plans. I'm going to make him.
Right.
I'm going to make myself part of these plans.
Yeah. All I got to do is show grit and determination.
So
what do you mean I'm not allowed in the training facilities?
This is, you know, we had CJ Sapong on the show sometime last year, and he had, you know, he was talking about the whole issue with the vaping and Bernadeschi and the locker room and the culture of this team, and they were trying to rid themselves of that culture and what Lorenzo... Look, it just hasn't worked out. This guy's a fantastic player. He was spectacular at Napoli.
Bro, he was the captain.
And then I don't know, I mean, injuries... And then he just really hasn't... It's not even about, like, him on the pitch. He's, like... He does look like he knows what he's doing.
He also looked like he was trying. He didn't look like he wanted to retire.
But it's one of those, like, the way Zlatan was frustrated at his teammates. It's like, oh, these guys are not getting me the ball where I need it or whatever. That's why I feel like Lorenzo's kind of going through it. He can't make those other players better. So he's just... It seems like... He brings a negativity to the team.
Yeah. Frustration.
That they sort of can't get past. So...
So look at that. Javinko, still better. Crazy.
Okay. So we'll keep an eye on this guy. It seems like he is not going to play this season, but he is next to Messi, he's the next highest paid player.
Well, I hope Onside has still got these cameras rolling, bro, because this is the drama you need.
Season two. Just one camera solely on Lorenzo Insigne on the bench.
Insigne cameras, he's having an espresso.
He's just angry. All right, let's wrap it up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Another reminder for everybody on the Patreon, join the Discord if you have not yet. It's active and fun over there with a great community of footy fans that love the sport and enjoy comedy. So get on there ASAP. If you're already on the Patreon, you have access to it, just join the Discord. Make a Discord account. What are you waiting for? So patreon.com/soccercooligans if you want to get in there, and subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet.
and the podcast and all that other stuff.
More important than subscribing on YouTube, share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends, your family, your church.
Ooh.
Your church friends.
Yeah. Or your atheist book club, which I think I'd be a much more a member of than any church, but sure.
So, but all are welcome to the show. All right. Anything else? Anything I missed? I don't think
That's it. Thank you, Daisy Guerreros, for letting me poop in your house.
Oh, bro. I mean,
to bring me back to being a kid, pooping in your childhood bathroom.
I do that because I visit my mom from time to time.
You poop when you
go? I poop.
Of course. Poop all the time when I go to the You know what? Let us know. Don't without it. Put a poop emoji in this video if you poop when you go to your mother's house.
Okay. But the poop is actually positive. It's not that you're saying something negative about the show.
Oh, yeah. Actually, don't do that. Put a thumbs up. Put a thumbs up.
Thumbs up and a poop.
No, don't put a poop. Put a thumbs up if you poop when you go visit your parents.
Two poops and a thumbs up.
Enough of the poops.
Anyway, all right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Love you guys.